the old boss.
What did he brag about?
Oh, everything. About the things he did, the things he had done, and all that nonsense. And the people who were providing me with a lot of other about him. And he and John were the two youngest ones. And he was there for about 1898. Potson, and that didn't do anything really when we could see it. And he came out to see a load of gloves in hell. I had no money coming, or hell, a good man would get about 50 or 75 cents a day in his village, and he'd work too. And this old fellow, why, he wouldn't do as much in a day as an average man would do in an hour. Yes, he was nothing at all. And I got another little fella, and we didn't have much use for him for a while because we thought he was the same, but he wasn't. He was he didn't pretend to do hard work, but he would drive teams and so on in the field, and I think got $1 a day for it. But he could get the horses to work and so on. He knew.
Do you remember about him leaving some dogs there, and
yeah,
that you boys
had
been selling his dogs.
Yeah, yes, he had an old mother dog and a leader's four pups. There was some anyway, and he took off the car all summer and left the mare. And Hill had a dog or two of her own, and it was trouble enough to get feed for them. And so then this old fellow, he's supposed to be back in a few days after them. And held a big lean dogs before the old fellow came. And we'd given one away to a fellow and was trying to give the rest away. And he was sure mad too. And that didn't sit well with us at all. Yeah, yeah, we have hustle feed for our dogs.
Do you think he ate the dogs?
Yeah.
There were stories and he ate dogs.
Yes, and I think he did. And he had some little shack on between, between the Troy and the Deary. But there was no Deary then. But about 10 years later, they had started building a big potlatch mill, and they had but this was kind of a cross country in what they called Trumbull. It's Elk River now, but it was Trumbull, and now the brothers were back in there with a lot of cattle, and they'd take them out to the Clearwater River in the summer or in the winter, and feed a little hay if they had to, and then go up there in the summer. And they were pretty reliable fellows, but this old fellow was good. And he had a little one room shack, sort of sold us later. They had an old shack. And no door even in it. He just called in through a window. He did. But no, he No, he was no good at all. But I knew some people kind of believed him. But those kids, the little ones, we were, well, we knew better. We knew that you're just an old windjammer. We didn't like that.
Yeah. Oh, he yeah.
Yes, yeah, so Lola wasn't born then.
No, I wasn't even born, no. But I've heard these stories about, yeah, she, about the king of the forest.
Yes, yes.
Did he say that he'd ridden with Kit Carson?
Yes, yes, and he was supposed to show Carson a lot of things that he didn't know, too. And he showed them to him. Yes, yes, Kit Carson. No, he was just an old windjammer. Never seen Carson. Carson would have shot him coming to his dogs.
And then he disappeared about 1903, or he left?
Yeah, 1903 was the last time I ever saw him. I heard that he... I never saw him after that. But we met him on the road, and him and a woman or two, and they... an old boy team and a rickety old hack. It was just a buggy as a hack, and he was going from Troy, kind of like he was going to Derry or somewhere, but he was just out east of Moscow, or before he hit Cornwall, even just about 4 miles, just out past the golf course there in the east of Moscow, and who is the owns that golf course out of the Anderson Place?
Anderson Place?
Uh-huh.
Oh, the Moscow golf course?
Yeah. Yes.
You mean who owned it?
Yeah, it. Some lodge owns it.
Oh, the Elks.
Yeah,
the Elks,
yeah, yeah. That's it.
So
yeah.
you met Wild Davy out there.
Yeah, of course. I don't even know if it was an outfit. All of it would be some Elks all I do, but it didn't amount to anything. But then after that, they said, anyway, we met him out there, and my brother stopped, and my oldest brother stopped, and he got some hay wire off the fence in one place and wrapped it around the wheel to keep it from hacked. We just have a wooden wheel with a hoop around it, and it would stretch, and then it would just drop off the...
But you got it all fixed anyway, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's interesting.
Yeah. And he was messing around, and these old women were out and trying to get the wire off the fence, so Bert jumped off, and Bert was pretty handy. He jumped off and got some wire and anchored it on and wrapped it tight. And I guess he got his whole shack.
Was he? Did he have a wife then?
He's supposed to, I guess, but I didn't know that until lately, 10 years ago or so. But he had someone who was supposed to be up around the university, but she didn't know very much now, or she wouldn't have been. But she wrote this book kind of for him.
So how did he look again? How did he?
Oh, a little short fellow about 4 or 5 inches shorter than you, and would weigh maybe 20 pounds or more, this little old fat fella.
You mean 120 pounds?
Oh, yeah, yes, yes, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, he would, but he wouldn't.
And he wore the buckskin, did he?
Yes. Yes, he would dress No, his regalia.
That's going to be looks like that.
That's another picture of...
Oh yes. He looks bigger than he was. He was like a pretty good-sized man there. but his feet probably is not touching the ground. He's sitting on a stump or something.
Oh, and then the one, what's this? Were you saying about the girl that he wanted to comb his hair?
Yes, he came in, and this neighbor woman was down. She was just a girl I don't think she was of age. Anyway, she was very quiet. She'd sit for half an hour and not speak unless mother talked to her. And so when I was old, he had thought either was in the house or came in. So anyway, he says to her, "Wouldn't you like to comb my hair?" I remember just a plane, so he stood right there. And so he says, "No, sober, serious." So, and all the girls all like wanted to cut my, or comb my hair. And anyway, she never cracked a smile. He was just serious. But also, I know he never had the wife. No, he never had the place for her. But he maybe picked him up and gave him a ride to Troy or somewhere.
Wild Davy, he sure sounds like a...
He sounds interesting, doesn't he?
...character.
Yeah, I'll say. Yeah. Well, I think we kind of studied that out. Decided that he had some help writing this book. He don't think it was true at all.
Well, according to this, his wife wrote the books for him. Were there any other guys, characters around that, like, I don't imagine they'd be like him, but were there any other sort of crazy guys around that you knew?
All of the songs, but there were, the one is, what the shiftless is this old one?
Now he knew Pat Malone. Maybe he can tell you about Pat Malone.
Oh, yeah.
Some of those stories.
Yeah, I didn't know Pat Malone was around that early, though.
Oh, no, he wasn't. No, didn't know him till 1914 or so.
Oh, well. Yes, I remember in 1913.
Oh, yes.
I was going into Elk River. I was homesteading there. And me and John were down we're down there at Walms. We were in binders and shock and so on. Yeah, a big setup. An uncle of this, so it's this town wall. And so we came up to, in order to get to Moscow, you have to come to Poland and lay off a while and so on. And finally get to Moscow. And then the next morning we caught a train and we go to Palouse. And then wait a while for that, and then we'd take it and wheel it into Beauville. And then we would throw up packs on our shoulders and go on out to my homestead. John had 80 acres, two only he bought his.
Where was the homestead?
Out east of Elk River, but there's no... until I got the railroad in, but the railroad had been in there about 4 years, and they had started the mill up at the fall of 1911. The fall of 1911, they had started it up and had run it pretty much that winter. My brother John was in when they started it, and then was Elk River, they named it Elk River. But before that, it was just Trumbull.
Mm-hmm.
And So this old fellow was dead before then, I think.
Who Trumbull was?
No, this old fellow. No, this...
Davy?
This Davy.
Oh, no, well, did you know Trumbull at all? Old man Trumbull?
I didn't know the old man, but I knew the boys. The boys run over a bunch of cattle. They bring them in up the North Fork, you know, they've got their big mill in there, their big dam in there now.
Oh, yeah. And, did J.J. Miller write anything up about that cattle ranch? Or do you know, in J.J. Miller's book? I don't think he wrote that. That's something I never heard before.
What cattle ranch is this now?
Well, it was up at Elk River someplace, wasn't it, Gus? Oh. I mean, you said they ran them there in the...
Oh, yeah. Trumbull's sons.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that was the name of the place. It was just a little store or something there, and some miners and stuff around the mill, the homesteads, old Bay Clark and the Reed boys, what's the name now, old Irie and Elvin. Anyway, it was something like
when
Irish Hugh and Alvin Hugh, they were just young fellows, and they were in their mine down on Elk Creek. And but I never was in there until about 1912. I was 21, and I never even really looked at the place, but fellow who came out from Ireland, he had bought this relinquishment, and couldn't find out before they got through. He had already homesteaded a piece over at Plummer, and a jeweler in allotment, and by gosh, he had I don't have a brush patch, but it had no value, I don't think. Might have some now. But anyhow, but in the meantime, he just sold that for $50. He paid $100 for another fella, and then he just got him $50 for his, and that was that. So he had lost $50. That was $50 of his $100. And by gosh, when he tried to rent, he bought a relinquishment out, a fellow he knew from back in Ireland. So he thought that mine would be a valuable thing, but he was stuck anyway. So he came to me, and he and our good friends, and so he said, if you want that place where you get it and prove up on it, and I could have proved up in 14 months, so I wanted to go in and stay, and that's what I intended to do, because there was a railroad in there then. All the railroad had been in for couple of years, I guess. They had to wait everything until then, but they got the mill built, and it was along the potlatch here down at Lewiston, and they had this big one built at Lewiston, they built mm-hmm. up there, and then mm-hmm. here they had a big mill at potlatch too, and it's still there, I guess.
Did you and your brother homestead out there?
I homesteaded. My brother bought a piece, but I homesteaded, and I intended to stay there, really. But instead of staying solid there
for
14 months, I changed my mind then, and I would go in the winter and winter in there, and when I had 3 years in, why then I could prove it up and bring two men that were honest men, and we would come in, and we spoke to Boston, but then there was a branch office here in Moscow, and then we lived in Moscow right over the hill from here. So we, I knew this old lawyer there, and I was born there, and I was about 24 years old at that time. And but anyway, I never came out in the winter time. Just come out in the summer and work, and go back in there in the winter. And the first one we were in there, the snow got as high as the ceiling. Yeah, the liar. Out of my shaft, it's got a brake land, and is we measured it, it was 8 feet. And at Elk River, which had been Trumbull, but it was Elk River then, I don't know when they named it, but about the time they started building the mill, I think. But in those days, I didn't give a damn when they named it or anything. Had some pretty nice timber on, but there was only about half of it was timber. The rest would have been burned off in 1910, and but what was on was pretty good white pine, and I held it there. Pulled up in 1915, and then I just held it and paid the taxes on it, and I would have to pay a fire tax. I guess it was the potlatch, I think, was some outfit had.
But that land wasn't very good for farming.
Well,
was
not
it?
With a dam. No, it raised grass. It was good for grass. It was good for strawberry plants. But no, you couldn't. I don't think you'd raise anything now. But Timothy would grow as high as that door. Not quite that high, but Timothy was big and tall. But it wouldn't last. You couldn't plant any garden. It didn't amount to a damn. Mm. But I didn't actually intend to live on it, but I was just messing around, and I would pay but the taxes weren't very, very high. It would just be, but we,
we've got two of that man's books. We've got them someplace. I guess Elizabeth has them, but.
No, that is, I don't think the land is any better now than it was then either. Just a few years, and it quit maturing. You could
Well, you're starting to tell me about Pat Malone out in that country.
Oh yes. We were going in, I was homesteading at the time, for the 13, and we were going up, and so by then we stopped at the house in Palouse, or was it Potlatch? I guess it was Potlatch we went to. And, but anyhow, we had to wait for our train, and it came, so we had, there wasn't enough to train load, but half a dozen or eight or ten, and, but they would have to run in some grub. It was a booming little town, but Then as soon as they got the timber cart, they got around the town site, and then they laid kind of railroad out into the woods, and run up and draws with it, and had a crew who kept building roads about all the time, so anyway, we put in our years there, but we got to talking with this old man, the loneliest old Irishman from Ireland, and he did this. Like us, we were just young fellows then. Maybe I was 22 or 23, and John was about 19. And we were kind of interested in him, and so he was quite a rattle there, 2 hours in Bowville, and the pub lads or Palouse, that's it. But he just got off. He was a cop at Bowville then.
Was he also the cop at Elk River or just at Bowville?
At Bowville.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, and then there was another old rooster with, I can't just think of the name now, but there was a...
Did Pat tell you any stories about what he did?
No. He never molested us with stories, but he was quite a decent old boy. You kind of like him, but he was a windjammer, but not like his old baby, not bragging about himself. He had a kind of round up moonshiners and drunkards, throw them in, or expend them. You have to go back to the woods again and not be coming in and getting drunk, and I guess he'd roll them or something. He'd take the money the night before them. Next morning they wouldn't have any money and he'd have to turn them out. They'd have to come back and pay a $10 fine, and he'd probably take them 30
or 40.
Get
them out of town anyway.
Yeah, but he got them out of the bit. Sometimes he gave them back the money, I think, or sometimes they didn't. But he was well liked, and he must be dead long ago.
Yeah, he died in World War II, about 1941, I think.
Oh, well, yeah. Well, that was it, because he was pretty well long in years then. He reminded me of an old fellow that used to be a sheriff here at Moscow named Jim Kane. Only Kane was a big man, and he was about my size. So
they were both Irish, though.
Yeah, but that was it. And he had the Irish brogue, and he would always finish them. Pretty good yarns, and you believe as much as you want to of it, what you didn't want. But he was a pretty decent old fellow. We all liked old Pat Malone. By the time I was going out to Moscow, I would usually come down and have to lie over maybe an hour at Bowville. And then they'd pick me up and take me down to Derry, and I'd jump out there and walk into Troy. It was about, 13 miles, something like that. And you could usually catch a hack or some rig going by there, they'd pick you up and take you. Sometimes you would, only ride a few miles, sometimes ride. We didn't go quite to Moscow. We'd get off of before we got to the cemetery. We'd get off and just walk on over home. It was a couple of miles out home.
Where would you be coming back from? From working?
No, we just...
coming back from Elk River.
Yeah,
coming back. Oh, yes.
Coming out for the harvest and like that. I was just going to it about that time, and it wasn't this particular. The first winter I said this, I'd solid every night, but then I went down and talked to them down at the
land office.
Land office at Lewiston, and so I told how long I was going to be gone, so on, and. So they said, just notified when they had, and they, so I did, and then I got talking to the fellow that had moved up and so on, and so they said, oh, hell, you don't have to be there every night. You've been gone for a week or a couple of weeks, gone working someplace, and you never turn that in. You just, you go in there 1st of December or any time you want to go in, and you could work out and just come home Saturday night. And so then I worked in the road some, and then I would take a camp and just camp and go home on a Saturday night, and then come down Monday morning and go to work. And then I could go to the mill and walk back and forth, but it wasn't very good for that because it was I hadn't worked mills much, and so I only got about 2.5 a day. Then it got pretty dull. It hadn't been for the war. The old warring back in the old country, and the old got in 14, and wheat went up to $1. Before that, it was about 60 cents. And that was pretty good, and we go out and help Dad a little at the ranch, and go out and work in the summer, as long as we were in there around it, and we did better than nearly all of them did. And there was a gold mine down on my place.
On out of Elk River there?
Yeah. But we never met this fellow Shoe. Him and some scallywags had been been mining it. But they were too.
Oh boy.
Say.
Now, Sam, you know my son.
Yes, we met last week.
Yeah.
Pretty good
opportunity. I'll
say it. Why'd you get it?
Oh, I got a whole barn full of them.
Yeah.
Sure. A whole shed full. I got a whole combine hitch over there.
Well.
I just had anyone who knew how to hook it up and the horses to go.
Well, you need the horses. That's what I think you need the horses.
Yeah.
No, the horses wouldn't do me much good if I hadn't the horses. Hookup.
Well,
wouldn't do me a hell of a lot of good.
Well, that's real pretty, Bob.
I couldn't get
them
out in the field anyway.
Yeah.
That's real
pretty. That's a beast swing to pull the saw. What is your combine weight?
Oh, God, I don't know. Must be 10 tons.
Oh, I don't think so.
I cannot believe it.
Of course, you have it all in one.
Once you bang, we'd have to push it. Have to put a tongue in behind and push it.
Well, we aren't going to do it anyway, but I like your
No, just put your because he was over to one side and put the probably four abreast, and you wouldn't have to.
Well, why would you do that when you got the motor in?
Well, you know, there's no, the way things are going, you keep it handy, and you might have a hard time getting the old gas someday.
Goddamn right, when all these farmers are down next spring and they can't get any diesel, I'll be in business.
You know, all you need is hook those farmers up there.
You're doing all right.
I got a horse out here, and I'll round me up another one someplace right
now. Well, you might take us for a buggy ride anyway, huh?
But that's a good one now. Yes.
Well, it's quite possible that it did happen. Maybe, yeah, you know, it could have happened to somebody. It didn't happen to him, it might have happened to somebody.
Who's old Shorty?
You tell him. Why Shorty go?
It's a legend. A man. I don't know. Who was Shorty? A little bull-legged man that worked around here at one time. He did everything.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Stage for Felix One, Rob Banks, shot men.
Yeah.
Brother was
a couple.
I was just saying,
the
story could have been true.
Yes, it could have. Yes. That old fellow that used to round the Holberg, what was his name now? An old scallywag, and he lived in Lewiston, but he used to. He would
probably.
Holiday. Old Holiday. He run a saloon up at, I believe it was.
Those are the great Dick Holidays in history.
Yeah, when they were opening up the reservation there, about 96, I think. And so he had a little saloon up there. And so a fella came in there with a gun. No, he fell come in with a knife. And by God, the bartender took off, and I think the proprietor's dead, but he said he just shot an old six shooter, and he says, take your rifle, get out of here. He says, I'll really pull a bolt. Well, it's now you. Yes, they could read a newspaper 3 mile away, and the fellow guys took off again. But this old Holiday, he was just a young fellow then.
Holiday was the one that pulled the knife or gun and told him to get out there and shoot him so full of holes he could read the newspaper through him?
No, old Shorty told him.
Oh, Shorty?
Yes, old Shorty told him this. And the old man asked him, yes, he said, something like, I didn't know what he said, but he knew he run the fellow off anyway.
And Holiday owned the bar.
Yes, he owned the lot.
Shorty was in it, huh?
Yes, he was in there. He was riding or something. He was riding for the hell of that old fella that was such an old...
Campbell?
No, his own fella on the Salmon River.
What?
No. It's some fella before his. But anyway, we'll. Ben Reeves.
Oh, yeah, Reeves.
And he was a cowboy and a good dude. I've seen him rope and ride and everything. And he could ride when he was 50 or maybe 60, when he was a. He could ride putting any horse in there. Hmm.
Oh, that's a good one. Those
yeah, so of course.
That Salmon River country's bad.
Yes.
They have mean cattle come out of there.
Yeah,
mean cows and mean men.
Yeah, that's right.
The whole outfit's bad.
Shorty has ridden with nearly all those men, the fountains and perhaps, of course, too. Anybody of any, he was with Platts when they brought a bunch out there.
Yes,
the way late they were across the Salmon on the over in the Dumas Plains, across the Salmon, and by the, I guess it was, about November, the thing froze up, and it got cold in hell. It was about, I can't just figure when it was, but it was, we were over in the reservation at the time.
29?
No, it was earlier than that.
19?
I think probably 19.
That's when Lewiston froze up, wasn't it? They walked the cattle right across on the ice.
That's what Platt was came through, and that 1,600 head coming across, and they pushed them across right on the ice.
Yeah, and that was the year Platt's went broke, wasn't it?
No, it was a little later than that.
Was it?
But that was what gave them their blow, and
Oh, I know that. That's really true.
Yes.
Say that again about 2 or 3
times. Yeah,
that's wonderful.
It was after World War One.
When they went broke.
Yeah.
And they were moving the cattle before World War One.
Yeah, about 18, I think it was 17, that they came over, because I know I sent a team over to help him put in his crop. On that head in there, the volunteers, I did. And I think there might even have been 16, I'm not sure.
Of course, I never run the one into the
top. It was 1917, he was a kid about 14 then. And they were living out in a place. Back of the warehouses, south of the warehouses, then they had that lease in the canyon and had bought it from...
They lived where old Don Jane lived there for a while, didn't they?
No, I don't think they did. I think they lived there. They were clear back on the back of walls.
Back there in the canyon.
Well, did Shorty do a lot of things he said he'd done? I mean, was a lot of it for real, or?
His brother knifed a deputy sheriff out of Garfield, and they took him to Colfax and put him in jail, and they broke into the jail and put a rope around his neck, and another guy, a Negro or somebody who was in the jail with him, and threw him out the window, and they hung there till 9 o'clock next morning. And that is
That's official, that's official.
The rest of the stories about Shorty, I don't know, but old Link Stone was scared to death of him.
Yeah, that's right.
Shorty was tough and well-known. A guy that ran that hammer from Hammer's Bar in Genesee said that old Shorty was freighting or something in Montana, and it was 40 below, and he was out there with no gloves on and no overshoes.
Yeah.
Just with his hobbling along in the mud.
It appears that was true. And he had just a couple of horse blankets to wrap up in.
Yeah.
And he left his horses harnessed, and there was they would freight from Lewiston out, I guess, to Greensville. There was
wasn't this Holiday out there? Wasn't he a descendant of Doc Holiday of Wild West fame, or was he?
Yes, he was. This was
Yes, old Doc. I think the Doc Holliday down here was a descendant of another Doc Holliday. It's an old-time name, Jude's come all the way down through Idaho history, these holidays.
Doc Holliday?
Oh, yeah.
What was Shorty's real name? Do you know?
Miles Kelly Hill.
Kelly Hill.
Yeah.
And you folks tell Sam now about the shooting at the 21 Ranch, because that's a very famous story. The 21 Ranch is up out of Lewiston a ways. About 25 miles out of Lewiston.
Yeah.
And that's real famous. Yeah. And the big old Idaho history, the big old, Lewis one, published in 1903, it calls the man, it said, a man named Short Hill was there at the ranch, but they'd never been able to find him. But it wasn't Short Hill, it was Shorty Hill is what they mean.
Yeah.
A man named
Shorty Hill. Oh, what did Shorty saw that?
Well, you boys tell him, because I don't know. I'm going to make a cup of coffee, Sam.
How about coffee? I went to the shooting, and the old woman gave him with $50 and told him to take a string of pack mules back over Tell him about how short it was bootlegging too, and most of these stories you made, they were all right.
Well, now, what's the story about the killing and Shorty? What did he have to do with that? He saw it?
This old man, he lived pretty old.
Well, I'd like you to get this story about the shooting of the 21 range, but that's your story.
Yeah. This old man, this must have been about in the 90s, I think, the years I knew. About 1898 or 96 or something like that. And there's an old woman that had, I don't know how she came to have this land, but she had a big ranch out south of Lewiston. And it was, out to become a pond. It must have been I'd been there quite often, but I wasn't much interested in it. But Warhol, as an outfit, had a store there. But I think Shorty, you and I was probably a little lady. I think it was in 1896, I believe. But anyway, this old Shorty Hill, it wasn't married then, I didn't have any wife or any kids or nothing. And he had been out there riding. He was wrangling horses there, and it wasn't so much cattle there as it was the horses there. And so they rounded up, you know, and I think it was about 1898 or something like that when the war was going on. And old Shorty was rounding up horses and breaking them for the cavalry. And this old lady, meantime, her man had died or left her or something, but I think he had died. And so she had a foreman there, and he seemed like he had some holdings back in Montana or further back, maybe. But anyway, it seemed like they had this big bunch of horses, 4 and 5 year olds and so on. They'd been ridden, and there was a fellow or two hanging around there, but old Shorty he was in town and was broke. He'd been out working. I was in town playing poker in 2-3 months, probably getting $48 a month, that's about what he got. And by God, a fellow came in and said, "I'll give you a couple of dollars if you break this horse for me." And so he got on him. He said, no holds barred. So he got on and locked his spurs and got on him and just rolled the steel to him, and by God, rolled him. So he got his $2. But in the meantime, by God, there was a $20 gold piece. No, it was a $20 bill. He had it rolled up in inside of his hatband. And by God, when he picked up his hat, it was the inside of his hat and on the sweatband. So by God, he had $22 then. So hell, he wouldn't go out. He stayed another couple of days and was broken again. So he went out. So he went out, and this old woman was kind of running at the end, and she had this partner was kind of a foreman, and he was a different different breed of dogs. But there was trouble among the men and so on. And I think we won't get much money because it was hard times. But anyway, the old lady sent him up, or I guess the foreman, they sent him up to the way back in the hills there. It must have been May, maybe April, and running a bunch of these horses and break them for the cavalry. Well, I guess it was the Spanish-American War, about 1898. And if it wasn't that, it was the Boer War. They were getting on that. The Spanish-American War was over. Why there was some kind of a row, and England was in that. They wanted to get down to South. So some of them deals they were at. But anyhow, there was a row going on. He didn't just know what it was, but anyhow, he went up to run in these horses, and so I don't know what time of the day it was or anything, but he was getting the horses out onto the bunch of grass and working them down into the corral, and these fellows got into a row down at the house, and by God, he saw a kind of hell was popping, and he had been at that ranch before, I believe it was right. He'd come in from Ben Reeves or somebody else, and he was riding for this old lady had come out and was bringing these horses to break them on a couple of carloads. That would be maybe 50 head or more. And so he could make about 5 or 6 a day. And they were pretty salty, some of them. They did for trying to ride them in. And they couldn't entirely turn them loose again. And so anyway, he'd worked there off and on quite a bit, so by God, he saw some shooting going on. He was a mile or two back from some of these bluffs here on the back, and so he could see this. I didn't know how it was, but he knew there was someone. So he come down anyway with the bunch of horses he had rounded up, and so he rode over to the house. The old lady was standing on the back porch with a gun at the time. So he says, "Why don't I?" Didn't see much, but he said, I did see smoke come from the porch here, and I saw you stand on the porch and saw I saw a man fall over the bar. He said he saw a man. So he just checked books or nothing. He says, real stuff over at the Snake River way up above. So they said, turn them horses back out of the corral and take off over to the Snake River, over to, can't think of the name of the place, Cow Creek or something, and don't let anyone know you've ever been here. So he took his $50 and went over and went someplace and got a little groceries and drank the rest up. So then it was ready to know what had happened. But then when they came over, somebody came over after him, or the old lady came over herself. And so then she told him, yes, this man had been shot. She hadn't shot him. But you stay back here until... So he stayed a lot longer, and then he showed up out there, and old you thought he'd been with Ben Reeves. But he hadn't. He just was kind of hibernating there, and he was scared when he could get it. But that was it.
It must have been there.
So she told him, just don't say. He saw somebody fall. He saw somebody get shot.
Yes, see, like we were from some of the high points here, and he saw the smoker was on, but he knew there was some trouble going on. But he hadn't been there before that, or he knew them and probably had been there at different times, but he hadn't been working there at the time. But anyhow, they have a nice big old house there yet, too.
And it's got a little balcony around him, the top window.
Yeah, that's right.
And Shorty claimed that he was standing up there and saw this.
And so this old man, this man. So they had the man arrested, but for some reason or other, I guess that these two men had both shot themselves. They both shot and they both got killed. But it appears that it was different. It was this fellow shot one of the men, and the old lady shot the fellow that did the shooting. So there was two men died, but the old lady wasn't supposed to have done the shooting at all. So then they got a hold of this brother of Shorty Hills. Let me see now how that worked. This man wasn't Ed Hill was Shorty's brother, and he was in jail in Colfax because he was in for something. Yes, he's in.
Well, this doesn't have anything to do with the shooting on the 21 ranch.
No, this is another story.
Yeah, that was right.
It's about Ed Hill's, the lynching of Ed Hill.
Ed Hill was in jail and was going to have a trial. But it seemed like when he was checked, they couldn't really prove anything on him. And was going to have not in for 6 months or something, and he'd be out. But he was trying to defend a nigger that was in there too, that they knew had shot somebody. But that's right, that had nothing to do with this at all.
He was trying to defend a Negro that was in jail?
Yes. and he didn't want them to bother him. And I said he got a yes, they wouldn't have lynched him, just go back to the nigger, but this not old Shorty Hill, but an older brother of his, that he tried to defend him, and by gosh, they just let them all out. And there's a whole band of fellas were around, and they were just took them or both out and hanged them out of the. And I've seen
the rope marks.
Yes, the big broad window, or those two windows or something. I've seen it, and called
at the courthouse.
Yeah, the courthouse. But they've built some more onto it since you can see another.
Had the Negro killed somebody?
Yes, and it was known. Mm-hmm. It is known he was, because he.
They blamed Ed Hill for stealing horses. But there's been much. One time in the little rural cooperative, they published in Clearwater, Power publishes. It did a little story on the shooting at the 21 Ranch. But they didn't have as much to it as Gus tells. Well, there was a big trial and went on quite a while, and now I can't even remember how it ended up. But for a long time, the sons of this woman ran the Raymond Hotel down there.
That was her mother that did that.
Oh, yes.
Well, her mom.
The mother, the grandmother to those boys, McGrain.
I was the old lady that did the shooting. Mm-hmm. It was Fijo. Her daughter had run
the Raymond
Fijo. Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
Well, did you believe most of Shorty's stories? Did you think was that story about him on the ranch, was that a true story, you think?
I believe it was, because long afterwards, before he ever told it. And they had written to that they were looking for this man, Short Hill. And so the old lady, I guess, protected him, told him he never had worked for her. He never had this old Shorty Hill.
So he covered for her.
Mm-hmm.
Was this Shorty, what kind of a guy was Shorty? I mean, was he a real tough guy?
Pretty tough, I think. One time, he came out to work for me, and that was later years, about 1918 or something like that. And so one day, I'd seen him at rodeos and so on. I was only about a dollar or two once in a while to get a drink or two on or something. And he was. So he'd been up in the woods, not in the late years. He was up in the woods fighting fire, but I'd say Native station came out. But his shoes were burned up on the soles, and he had to get, so he gave him a pair of shoes, but the damn thing wouldn't fit. He had to wear boots, and he had to have a brace on from here up to his knee, and then strap it around his waist on each ankle, because his ankles were broke. So I've been down with a neighbor. That was pretty late, but it's about 28, I think. And that was 28. Where he was walking up the hill. So we were down that afternoon and were waiting for a fella to come in so he could get one of them new my buddy Fords. And the man wasn't there. He was Gord or Pomeroy or some other little town. Then we eventually got along the old Swinhead. But Swinhead had known this man that was selling these cars, and so he wanted to trade him his old Dodge in on it, and he put stiff oil in it, probably a 40 oil, and I don't think this fella knew much about selling, but he was just kind of working there. But so anyway, he traded this old rig in, and had this money enough to pay the difference, and but he when they checked the oil and so on, gee, it all come down to that. So then he took them. So they, this fella did. That had traded the the fellow that sold it, so the fellow took his word for it, and mm-hmm. he gave him a title along. Mm-hmm. And God, when they looked at his, full of oil, and damn, he just had driven nearly 10 miles and needed more oil. So, he lost his job, and this man, anyway, that night we were coming up with this new model year forward. The clear title and everything, called Old Shorty Hill. So we rode along. After, where's he going? He said, going out to Art Rosenau's, probably moonshining out there below the Genesee, and he was peddling it, and he kind of bowled, and officers got after him, and he kind of rounded them up, and by God, he had them arrested, and some of the people had been buying it, told him. So he got a year in the pen.
Shorty did?
And then, no, this
other guy.
A fellow named, but in the meantime, this man didn't have a name. there was nobody to work for him, but anyway, Shorty had been hanging around there and so on, so he came, and that's where he was headed for that night. And it was how'd you like to? I said, have you got a job there? He says, no, but he says, you can always eat there, you know. And I thought, you'd like to come out and get a couple of hours a day and you're bored for running a drill. Be tickled to death, he said. He didn't have a dime in his pockets, you know. So anyway, he his shoes were bad, and his clothes had kind of burned up and so on. So when I said, come down to the ranch and I'll put you, this was a Sunday night, I said, I'll put you to work tomorrow morning. So I did old Sweeney down at my place and had another fellow working there. He wasn't a very good horseman, but I knew it was something that morning anyway, and I got the, they call it a blade, it's just a big long knife, 12 feet long, and you could cut them or weeds off, they didn't get too big. So he went working. I ran, me and Sweetie ran the horses in. So I picked down about four pretty good ones and then a couple of cars and horses, because I knew he was a wild. I said, mind the horse wild? No, not too wild. He said, don't. So I said, I'll make a round around the field, a big long field, run from here halfway to Moscow. And so I got my breakfast ready, and he was pretty drunk then because he knew every round Lewiston. So anyway, I got him up, he ate a bite and was all groomed up and all right, ready to go. So we went out and I had the cayuses run to the yard, and we got the six head that would be good on the blade. I said, I want you to work them and don't bother and hope they're new as it is. Make a hamburger sandwich or two and the kind of coffee and just leave it up fit pool somewhere. By the time noon comes, why just don't bother, just drive them up to a fence or something and you won't have to bother with them. And by night they'll be tamed down. So that was all that he did, and he said he wished, well, I'd have a pint of whiskey, although I said, no whiskey now, we'll get through. So he said about 2 weeks with me, and so in the meantime, hell, he had Matthew said, hell, he says, I have no shoes and no boots, no blazer. Not a thing, was weighing about almost this. Well, a month than it is, a month later than it is now, because it was about the middle, I guess, of. So we, I kind of stood there and cooked, and I had this one fellow there that was not too smart, and he kept, oh damn, I should get hold of that boy. Oh, I guess not, he said, I should be eating that damned cattle some.
Oh, well, he'll be
back. Oh, he's gone.
He's gone, sit down a minute.
Mm. Yeah, I think it's, well, anyway,
so
we, he'd been working for some neighbors of ours a few days in haying or something. So he just says to me, he says, where's Don Jane? A fellow named Don Jane had a few sheep, maybe 100 head, and he had...
And that's Grace's brother, you know, and...
Does this man know Grace?
Oh, yeah, he knows Grace.
Oh, well, that's it. Well, he says, where's Don Jane? Why, says, I think he's on here someplace. The end of his sheep yet. Yes, I said, he's kind of got them in, feeding a little hay now. So I says, I'd like to get my gun from him, he says. So I says, is it a pretty good gun? Oh, it's not much, just a common 44. You know, but he says, anyway, but I've got 3 notches. So I saw he was a bad man, always. But I'd known him already for 20 years, I guess, but not never had him working for me. So I said, is that right? And he said, yes, he says. Yes, we picked him up and brought him from off the highway that night, about 1 o'clock, and come on and he bedded down there. And so, but he says, yes, he says, there was one fella who I've forgotten what
his name was.
Well, it wasn't that. But it was, he is trying to think of what was he. He has one fella. Oh, damn, I forgot what the arm was. One man. He came off the Salmon River and by God, he drew a gun on me. And so I drew a little quicker than he was and let down him. And so anyway, he was a bad man, don't worry, fighting with his fellow raising hell. So they picked me up and I found it was this some certain man. Oh, they said to hell with him. He said, that fellow should have been shot years ago when they just turned him loose. And then there was two others. I thought that this was forgotten all entirely. That's so long ago. But anyway, so he never been, all he'd ever been in jail, but just in overnight and then turned out.
Now, Gusman, you mentioned that this business about the cars, yeah. About the car. Now, what did Shorty have to do with that?
We were kept late that night because Shorty had nothing to do with it.
Oh, that was just the family problem.
Yeah. I just fell and I went down. We were talking to this fellow. I knew him pretty well, named McKinney. And that's all right. When we went down this day, he was trying to. Hold on. McKinney was his name. So he was trying to make a deal.
On the car?
Yeah, on the car.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. And he didn't sell it to that fellow, but then he sold it to. Swinging them later by trading in the van you were. No, Shorty made a lariat and left it for him. And the son of them wouldn't pay him because it wasn't made right. But wouldn't give it back, say, so just throw it in the river or something. And then this other was.
Mm-hmm.
Right, someday I'll think of
wonderful memory. You could remember the exact date and everything when they did things. But this Shorty Hill was a graphic old man. He was a very interesting old fella. He ran the stagecoach for Felix Warren years ago. And here's a little something, and I don't want this on tape, but...
I better turn this tape off.
Yeah, but
Gus was telling it that Shorty saw it from a hillside. He saw it from up in the hills. He saw the...
Well, that's machine. Always... No, that's always been kind of a moot question. I mean, you know, whether he saw it or maybe he was closer. See, he could have been closer. You know, so... but it's they had a big, long investigation over it, and the Lewiston papers, the old papers, are full of the long trial, the long, drawn-out trial, trying to just discover what had gone on there, but... I don't remember now how it wound up.
But when you knew Shorty when were young.
Oh yeah, very well.
Was he really a character?
Oh yeah, he was a character. He was quite a character. He was quite a character. Good horseman. He'd won many trophies in the Bronco riding. You know, at various places. He'd ridden at Pendleton, and he always rode in various places, and was a very skilled bronco buster. Mm-hmm. But I think most of what Gus said was about right. It took him a long time to say it, that was all.
Oh, well, yeah, it doesn't, you know, he speaks a lot slower.
Yeah, that's right.
But he knows what he wants to say.
Oh, yes, oh, yes, he knows. Uh-huh, yeah, that's right.
Well, let's see, I'm going to go, but I thought before I...